Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Are you interested in angels, demons, spirits, ghosts, and monsters? Are you curious about their origins, tales, and influence upon history and on the present day? If so, sit back, relax, and welcome to Southern Demonology, the podcast that explores all of this and more.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello all, and welcome to the final episode of Season 3 of the Southern Demonology Podcast. As always, I'm your host, JJ. Well, I can't believe we finally arrived at the end of the road for this particular season. It's been a chaotic time with family health, work overload, and a few other complications thrown into the mix. But what matters is that we've gotten here, and not only do I want to thank you for bearing with me through the less than frequent schedule, but let me thank you for simply listening and sticking with me. As a podcaster, I have zero idea who is listening beyond looking at metrics. And let me say, nor should I, as your privacy should be absolute. And even though I do have a Discord server and do receive emails, oftentimes this feels more like an exercise of simply throwing my voice into the void and praying that I am not talking to myself. And I am always humbled and tickled to death that someone out there listens. And for that, you will always have my appreciation. But what a ride this season has been. We've covered everything from horror anime and my time in Japan, First Enoch and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and of course, some pretty universally bad horror movies. But today, we have two things on the docket to round things out. The final piece of my interview with the exorcist Father Birdsong and his son Deacon Josh. And then immediately afterwards, I want to talk about perhaps the best movie I have ever seen that deals with demonic possession. I'm leaving it to the end, as it does come up as a topic of discussion in the interview, and I don't want to overshadow that talk. Plus, it's not every day that an academic scholar gets to help collaborate on a specific demonic influence. But before we cut over, two quick reminders. First, Southern Demonology will be taking a small break until October 2nd, when not only will Season 4 commence, but so will Southern Demonology Bites, the October-specific run of many episodes that cover horror movies. Second, I will be the guest on Vestiges After Dark on Tuesday, October 29th. I'll have a link to that in the show notes if you want to tune in on YouTube. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the second part of my conversation with the Birdsongs. And stay tuned for afterwards as we delve into a movie that I cannot recommend enough. What other interesting experiences have y'all come across?
Well, what we're dealing with right now.
yeah.
We are dealing with a case right now, and I will name the woman Paula. And Paula, I'm just going to go ahead and say, is one of the hardest cases that I've ever dealt with in 31 years of ministry.
Oh, that is quite a statement. What makes it so?
Well, I'll just go ahead and say, I actually wrote down several points, but I got them all mixed up. But let me just go ahead and start with this one.
Sure.
Well, she got involved with I'm just going to call it a Christian cult. How about that? And she got involved with a quote-unquote deliverance ministry. And, you know, sometimes we walk into things we have no business walking into.
Oh, my God. Okay. Can I stop you right there just for a second?
Yes, sir.
There was a minister where I grew up at, and my uncle and aunt got involved with this man. I won't name him, but I want to very badly. Whenever this man would come close to any of us, I got the worst chills sent straight up and down my spine. Yeah. I abhorred this man. And my mom felt the same. My aunt felt the same. We actually forbid him from ever coming near our properties ever again because of just, we saw the changes that this man induced into my aunt and uncle, who are extremely sensible individuals. And yet, for some reason, he had the power, and it was awful. It was absolutely awful. So I completely understand exactly what you're talking about, at least from that degree.
Exactly. And so she, you know, one of the biggest problems that we have when it comes to the quote unquote charismatic world, especially in the 80s, we had a demon for everything. I mean, seriously. If you ran out of gas, it's your fault, but it was a demon's fault. Right. You know what I'm talking about?
I do indeed.
And so she got involved in some things like that. I tell everyone that's my age, just because you read the book Pigs in a Parlor back in the 80s doesn't make you a deliverance worker.
Right.
But anyway, she got involved in things like that. That's mistake number one. If you're not trained properly, leave it alone, for crying out loud. But anyway, this really started affecting her in a major, major, major way. When it came to my attention, she was so physically sick that, you know, she could barely stand. You know, I interviewed her and talked with her, and then we went on. This is one of those cases, JJ, that one and done is not over. Actually, I've had three sessions with her and trying to encourage her to move forward. And finally, this past week, she contacted me. And you gotta understand, this woman doesn't know the names of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she mentioned the name Abaddon, and
that's definitely one of the worst you could say.
Exactly. And that explains the depression and the sickness and the dread and everything. But also the name Lilith came forth, and then she called it Balak, but I may have misunderstood her. But I believe she's referring to Valak, V-A-L-A-K. And Josh, you want to talk about Valak?
Yeah, well, I'm sure JJ already knows, but Valak is known for giving people unnatural knowledge and usually is evolved with magic and magicians.
Yep.
So
Valak, I've heard it through a few different vineyards, and that makes sense because then Semitic languages, B's and V's are really only designated through a Dagesh point.
Exactly. So, but after the third session, it became very apparent to me, and it was quite shocking because, I mean, we know that this can happen, but like I said, this is one of the hardest ones in 31, 32 years of ministry.
I got a question. So if Lilith was brought up, was there any connection to wind or anything similar to that?
She always talked about storms and like a blowing on her face.
That would make sense. That's Lilith right there.
Okay. That's one thing that I didn't understand. But I've tried very hard to discern between certain demonic presences, but I never put it together that the blowing in the face was Lilith.
It can be. Like Lilith's most, her first appearance was in Akkadian mythology, where it was really three separate entities, and they were all three goddess of the wind.
Okay.
And then she was brought over into Jewish folklore as a night hag. And then she kind of rapidly evolved into this idea of Adam's first wife because of the two different creation stories that you find in Genesis. And then she took on an entire life of her own. But yeah, she's always been a presence ever since Sumerian and Akkadian times.
So when she says to me, I feel like I'm being attacked by the four winds,
that is definitely Lilith.
Okay. Very interesting. Another thing that's really hard for me to understand, but it's just because of who I am. She is, I hate to use the word, but she's had this for so long that she's codependent on these demons.
So there's been some moments where she's even referred to them as her friends.
That is definitely very deep. I mean, it sounds almost like it's only one step removed from being perfectly possessed.
Exactly. And that is, I get messages almost daily, you know, for help, so on and so forth. And I've had to tell her, if you don't come, I can't help you. You have got to make a decision to come. And unfortunately, it's reached the point to where, you know, the enemy can't take over our free will, but he can persuade it.
Exactly. They can either trick you into believing it doesn't exist, or they'll find a little crack in your armor and they will slither in like a bug.
Exactly. It kind of reminds me of the movie The Right, where, what's his name? Anthony Hopkins tells the Michael Kovac priest, just because you don't believe in the devil doesn't mean he doesn't exist.
Right.
It's a battle to get her to understand what she's really facing. She sees it at a certain point, and then it's like a light switch goes off, and then she withdraws back into herself. And but she's adamant that I come to her home, and I said, no, that's not going to happen. We'll get you here. All you got to do is pick up the phone and say, come get me. It's amazing to me that after a while, and like you said, it's like one step removed from perfect possession, how people can become codependent on these demonic presences. But it all started when she got into this, I'm just going to call it a Christian cultic practice of deliverance with folks not knowing what they're doing. I mean, she's even got to the point where she takes around a bag with stuffed animals or dolls and calls them her tools for PTSD. Well, what she's dragging around is a bag full of idols. And I'm saying you gotta get rid of this mess.
I mean, just the thought of that scares the ever living crap out of me.
I know, right? I mean, like I said, this one, I gotta say, honestly, and I've seen some stuff, JJ. I've seen people run around on all fours foaming at the mouth, barking like dogs. I mean, you know, but however, this case is one of the hardest that I'm ever facing. And I have to be honest, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I mean, but we're here, we're going to move forward, but it all really depends on the free will of the person.
Well, I will say whatever prayers I can offer up, because that definitely sounds like an extremely hard nut to crack, unfortunately.
It is. And, you know, today we had one of our classes on the nature of the demonic. Oh, by the way, just so you know, Josh and I have actually written a whole curriculum on that now. And yeah, we will be going to real school at the beginning of next year.
That is phenomenal news. I would love to be able to attend that. My goodness.
And it will also, Josh is also going to be recording it, so it'll be available for you on video.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, if y'all ever need a website to house it, let me know. More than happy to volunteer.
Hey, you are always welcome to come in person or Zoom or whatever we need to do. It is. Yeah, this one's been a hard one.
Did she voluntarily reach out?
She did. She voluntarily reached out. You know what? Let me put it to you this way. I told the class today that normally I would never, never recommend a movie to watch. But she reminds me of the movie Nefarious, 2023 version. That's a movie to watch.
I'm not sure if I've seen that or not.
It is one of the most realistic cases of demonic possession that I've ever seen Hollywood put out. You know, there's always truth in Hollywood, one way or the other. We need to learn how to eat the fish and spit out the bones, as we say in the South. But that movie is spot on of demonic influence.
And I will have to watch this tonight.
Oh, I would definitely recommend it. Amazon has it, what, for $4 to rent, Josh?
Yeah.
It is. I've watched it twice, so that says something. But it's very good and very, very accurate in my humble 30 years of experience in ministry. And, you know, there's only one thing I've learned in 30 years of ministry, JJ, is I don't know anything.
Yeah, I feel you. In all of my decades of research, that's exactly how I feel now.
I mean, there's always something new and always something that you're walking into, and you're always, you know, forgive me what I'm about to say. Sometimes you wonder, what the hell am I getting myself into?
Amen to that one.
I would recommend watching that. That's my plug for the movie. And like I said, I don't normally endorse things like that.
I will have to watch that, and I might even book in this entire interview with a review of that movie, because now you've gotten me more than a little excited for it.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you that movie, JJ, it is going to grab you from the beginning, and it's going to keep you to the end.
I hope it does, because I'm telling you, I have watched a lot of horror movies, especially possession movies, in the past couple of months, and every single one of them has been nothing but a disappointment so far. So I definitely hope that this one is anywhere near as good as what you say it is. And I'm sure it is.
it's
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good. I mean, actually, I was not going to watch it for the very reason that you just stated. But Josh watched it before I did and said, Dad, you got to watch this one.
Yeah. I'm sure you heard of C.S. Lewis, but do you remember the Screwtape Letters?
Oh, gosh, yes.
This is what Nefarious is, pretty much.
Oh, really? Okay. Then you have instantly gotten my attention. I love the Screwtape Letters beyond all belief.
Yes. It's a prisoner who's on death row. It's a homeless man who's possessed. And the whole movie is him sitting down in front of an atheist psychiatrist and debating the demonic. And it's a very good movie.
You know, there was a TV show back in the 90s. It was a spinoff from The X-Files called Millennium.
Yeah.
It was a pretty horrible series, but there is one episode that always grabbed me, and it involved three demons who were discussing their philosophies on how to influence the human race. And right. That episode by itself was well worth the watch. It was, I wish I could track it down again. It was phenomenal.
What was the name of the show? Millennium?
Yeah, it was. I'll see if I can dig that up, because I would love to see it again myself. I haven't seen it since it aired originally.
I'll try to look that up tonight myself. I mean, it is so realistic that what does the demon say one time? You're nothing but a bag of skin that knows nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, here we go. It shows, in my opinion, the fall of Lucifer all the way up to the conquering of man of original sin. It is a very dang good movie.
Okay, I actually found it. The title of that episode is Somehow Satan Got Behind Me. It's the 21st episode of the second season of the American crime thriller television series Millennium. And this episode, a group of demons convene at a donut shop to share stories of tempting and damning humans. However, their stories all seem to include one mysterious figure who can see them for who they really are.
Awesome. Put that out on the Discord, and that way I can see it and look it up.
I'll see if I can locate that, and I will definitely include a link.
That sounds awesome. I'll be looking for that one. That's interesting.
Our time is starting to come up on itself. Are there any other particular experiences that y'all have had that you would like to share?
You know, in our small cities, there's always something going on, right?
Yep.
And so some things were brought to light recently in our city and county that makes you wonder, so to speak, when it comes to sex trafficking and things like that. And so today we dispersed the class, and I had a box of Benedictine medals, and Josh can talk about Benedictine. I had him go around and just walk throughout the city square and things like that. You know, just as in the natural realm, there's signs and symbols, but in the spiritual realm, there's signs and symbols too. And I had them leave. If they felt any type of heaviness or presence, I had them just leave a medal and just to say, no, not today. Because one of the things about the supernatural, and one of the things about the exorcist or even intercessor, is they're a watchman on the wall, and they are placing themselves in a position to say, not today, JJ, not today, not on my watch, not with my family, not in my city. And that's one thing that I would love to leave with the people, that, you know, we have a responsibility in the kingdom. We can sit around and watch things go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, or we can take a stand and say, not today, not to my children, not to my wife, not to my mother, not to my father, and come against the darkness of this world.
Amen. And to add to that, for those who are listening, I would also highly urge you not to invite the darkness.
Exactly.
Don't go onto Reddit and hear about some strange ritual, whether it's the Japanese game of hide and go seek by yourself or the Three Kings ritual or whatever it may be, and think, oh my gosh, that's a perfect thing to do. Let me go do that. Do not. I beg of you. It's a bad idea. Do not invite crap into your life, into your home, into your family's lives. It will only lead to ruination and regret.
Exactly. Exactly right.
That imagery of being the watchman and not today is extremely powerful. And I think that's a message that everyone should take very closely to heart.
Yep. Yes, sir. And, oh, by the way, just let me go ahead and throw this little advertisement in. I wrote a book called Becoming a House of Prayer. And I would encourage everyone to look it up on Amazon. You can get it for $3 on Kindle or buy the book for $8. But it is a very powerful book written in Southern redneck English that everybody can understand. But it's a good book to get a renewed hope of your communication with God.
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask you where they can find you. I will definitely have a link to that, to the Amazon link. And I will be adding a new section to southerndemonology.com that will have a list of recommended books. And that one will definitely be there once I get that launched.
Yes, sir. And also, when we get the... we have the curriculum ready for what I was talking about earlier. I just got to put some final touches on it. But Josh will get a hold of you, and I will actually send you curriculum that we wrote. And that way you'll have it as well. And we will make this class also available just as soon as we get started. But, you know, like I always say, all that's over my head. This will be in Josh's hands.
I'm a web architect. If there's ever anything I can do to further all of that, all you got to do is say the word on a strictly volunteer basis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, anything that can be done to disseminate this knowledge onto the world and protect people and to keep them safe, it can't be nothing but a good thing. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure getting to talk to y'all again. Thank you both for coming on. Again, if you're just joining, this has been Father Michael Birdsong and his son, Deacon Josh, and they have shared some of their amazing experiences. It won't be the last time that we hear from them.
No, they're, sir.
I'm sure they're going to be on once again at some point in time, but you're actually going to be the final two-part episode that's going to round up season 3 of Southern Demonology. I wanted to have something special, and I couldn't think of anything more special than having y'all two as guests. So it's thank awesome. You very much for your time.
my pleasure, JJ. My pleasure.
Well, and you can also find them on future episodes of the Paranormal Rundown. So that is its own monthly podcast. Feel free to check that one out. And again, you will find links to Father Birdsong's book, Becoming a House of Prayer, in the show notes. And if there's any other information that we can provide, all you have to do is ask. If you have any questions for the dynamic duo here, feel free to write in to southerndemonology.com. We have links for either contact us or the listener inbox. And feel free to shoot any inquiries, and we will get them over there.
Absolutely. Or,
if you would like to become a member of our Discord server, they are free and active members, and you can always contact them there. Again, have a wonderful night, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time, and
yes, sir.
We will talk again soon.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you, JJ.
And welcome back. Right after I finished that interview, I went straight to Amazon and rented Nefarious. After all, if two people I highly respect and who just happen to be exorcists themselves, you know, like you are, say such glowing things about a movie about possession, I couldn't resist. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, then I think you know how exacting and demanding I am when it comes to horror movies. Shudder has suffered the brunt of this over recent months and years, but there are so many offenders out there, it's unfair to just call them out singularly. Yes, there are some great horror films out there. However, they rarely come along. However, I can honestly say that Nefarious is not only good, but it's amazing. And if anything, the bird songs understated how good Nefarious is. One of the chief complaints I have about demonic possession movies is that they usually have involved plots or subplots that have absolutely nothing to do with the possession itself. And I'm sorry, if you're dealing with a possession, then why in the world are you as a filmmaker focused on anything but that? That's like having the most amazing archaeological find discovered, and then the crew talking about it is focusing only on what the archaeologist's fascination with birds happened to be, or on what the dig team had for breakfast that morning. I don't care. If your story cannot recognize, and more importantly, fully capture the terror and the ramifications of what a possession is, and therefore stand on that, then it has already failed. And dear Lord, does Nefarious do that? The vast majority of the movie is only an atheist psychiatrist speaking with a death row inmate who claims to be a demon. That's it. There's no special effects, no what I like to call obscene displays of power on the demon's behalf. So already this movie earns high marks just for that. Everything that is brought up takes a very distant backseat. With that said, the movie is not perfect. It does little to make the audience guess as to whether the inmate is truly possessed or not, even though it does half-heartedly attempt to tread this path in the beginning. The struggle and the battle of wits between the two of these conversationalists is all too soon given up by one of them. And I'm sorry, I won't go into detail. I'm not trying to spoil much here. And the ending is, it's entirely too pat for my liking. That's the best way of saying it. And there are some threads that, if explained or at least not abandoned, would have made for a much tighter movie overall. On a deeper level, the theology espoused by the movie is more Milton-esque than anything. Man, if I had the time, I would love to break down where this movie gets things right and then kind of veers off into inherited material. I would love to find the time to break down where Milton himself veers away from source material. But that could be its own series of episodes or dissertations or whatever else you want to talk about. They are all pretty Herculean tasks. So we'll leave it at that. The one thing that did truly get my goat about this movie is that the demon says its name is Nefariamus, which is then quickly abandoned for Nefarious for the rest of the film, and that the name comes from an ancient Phoenician dialect. Nope. Phoenician is a Semitic language. Nefarious or Nefariamus is a Latin-derived word. So yes, the research could have been much tighter. There could have been more subtle hints of power displayed. There could have been a tighter script. But if I'm going to be honest, all of these, in the large scheme of things, are nitpicks. Nefarious is a stellar film, and it stages the only thing that matters right in the spotlight. But the most telling thing is that this movie has been living in my head nonstop since watching it. I want to go into greater detail. I want to tear apart every single thing about this movie and discuss it. And maybe at a future date I will, especially after the film has been out for a while and those who want to watch it have a chance to. I don't want to spoil things unnecessarily. But the fact that it's still in my head, that I'm still actively thinking about it. I mean, just the fact that it espouses a biblical worldview and does so pretty dang well, to the point where I think it's actually a tad bit problematic. The fact that it keeps me thinking about the comfort that evil provides, that possession provides. And I think that's probably going to be the very first topic of season 4. My mind keeps splintering into 1,000 different parallel directions, all because of this movie. And to me, that is the hallmark. If you can show me a movie that keeps me fully invested, fully bought into your world as the movie is on, but then makes me think and keeps me thinking for entirely too long, you have done something extraordinarily special. And Nefarious is definitely that. Thank you for listening to Southern Demonology. Find us online at southerndemonology.com, where you can find all of our social and podcasting links. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate this podcast and leave any encouraging feedbacks that you may have. As always, I am JJ, and it has been a pleasure getting to talk to you today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.